What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Sparks of the Paranormal. I am your host, John Sparks. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that listened to our last episode with Patrick McQuarrie from The Haunted Side. That was fantastic. Next week, I've got another really good one coming for you. We've got Mr. John from Project Wolf. He's going to be out here. He's going to be talking about some really cool stuff. But today, once again, guys, another banger coming down the pipe for you. That's right. I've got a very special guest with me today. I happened to stumble across on Instagram, as you know I do, and I saw Old Dominion Paranormal Research. Now, John, why does that stick out to you? Well, I actually used to live in the Old Dominion area of Virginia, and then I reached out. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And we got to talking, and most of the team is based out of Lynchburg, Virginia, which I went to Liberty University for about 3 months, but I still have a huge love for Lynchburg. So I decided, hey, let's see if we can get him on the show. And here we are, sitting down with Mr. Michael Hegdahl. Michael, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm making it, brother. I'm making it. Slowly but surely. We're getting there. So let's get started with some of the basics, my dude. What got you started investigating? Was it experiences? Was it just an obsession? Or were you a skeptic that's kind of like, it's not out there, I'm gonna prove it's not out there, here we go?
No, I mean, I've had experiences since I was a little kid. You know, my house growing up, I would lay in bed at night and I'd hear footsteps coming up and down the hallway. I'd see shadows moving across the walls, and, you know, after a while, and it never really scared me, but after a while, it really, you know, piqued my curiosity, I guess. I wanted to learn more about it. I wasn't scared of it, and, you know, that was 13 years ago, and I've been studying it ever since, and it's become an obsession for me, actually.
So, what... I want you to go back into your files real quick, and what was, like, your first major experience?
My first experience, I was actually locking up the house one night. I was inside, I was locking our front door. Between our living room and our kitchen, there was a bar area. And I turned around, my mom was standing at the bar, and the wall directly behind me, there was a shadow moved across that wall. I mean, you could see the legs, you could see the hands, just strolling through the house. And I looked at Mom, she looked at me, and we was like, what was that? And then, kind of after that, you know, odd things were happening, but we, you know, started digging into it, I guess, and realized, hey, you know what, this house might actually be haunted.
So, in that moment where you're seeing the shadow figure walk, what is the feeling that's going through you? Like, where's your headspace at? Because that had to be pretty disconcerting.
It was more, yeah, it was that, and it was confusing. We was like, what is it? You know, it's just, we didn't know if we both are crazy, I guess. But, you know, like I said, after that, it was just, you know, paying more attention to what's going on in the house, and, you know, we started noticing activity all the time.
Interesting. So what kind of activity what was continuing to happen in the house? Was there stuff moving, people being seen? What was going on?
Everything. I mean, we, like I said, footsteps, the shadows, stuff would be moved. I mean, we'd turn around to pick something up, and it's way on the other side of the room. And we're like, how did that get over there? And then we'd see, you know, my mom saw an full-body apparition standing there in the house.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was really intense for a while.
Did anybody get touched? Did you guys ever feel threatened? Or was it just, I can't believe this is happening?
No, well, I mean, my mom said she got touched a few times, like a hand on her shoulder, but that was about it. But we never felt threatened at all. And in honesty, he became a member of the family. Mm. You know, as odd as that may sound, I mean, we were so used to him. You know, we kind of felt like he was there in the house protecting us.
Yeah. And I like to hear that. I really do, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and I've talked about this here on the show before, is, you know, they have something going on, and they immediately jump to the negative. But the truth of the matter is the fact that every dead person was a person and is technically still a person. So you have to treat them with respect. You have to treat them with honor. And they will do the same for you. It's just a matter of respect. And it's awesome to hear that your family, you guys were able to just kind of absorb them into your family.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And we miss them. We don't live in that house anymore. But I know when we moved out, we said, you know, you can come with us if you want. But I don't think he did.
Oh, that would be good. Hey, Kevin, come on, buddy. Come on. You know, it doesn't work the same with spirits as it does with dogs, sadly. So, you've been interested for 13 years now, and you started about 3 years ago investigating. What sparked you to finally step into the investigation?
Well, to be honest, I was just tired of... I don't want to say tired, but I really wanted to find my own evidence. I wanted to really prove to myself that this stuff is real. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of started going out, taking pictures and visiting these places and wanting, you know, to have an experience. But, and like I tell people now, you can't just go into these places and expect something to happen. It don't work that way.
Exactly.
It might, you might be lucky, but you know, it just doesn't always happen on cue.
No, it's never going to be on your time. It's always theirs. And there's, I've noticed there's a lot of spirits that, if investigated a lot, will tend to kind of keep to themselves. And if it's a place that nobody's gone in a long time, you know, it's like ignoring a child, you know, or ignoring a person. We all want to talk to somebody, and if we don't get to for a while, well, get ready, you're about to get an earful. But yeah, if it's a place that's highly investigated, I've realized that they kind of keep to themselves until they just can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, and I believe that too. Our first investigation was at Waverly Hills.
Mm.
And, you know, it wasn't as active as we thought it would be. I guess we kind of went in there with higher expectations. But, you know, people were going into Waverly every night asking the same questions over and over and over again. And I know if I was one of them, I wouldn't want to deal with those people half the time anyway.
Exactly. I don't like repeating myself once, let alone 12 times. It's just crazy. It's crazy. But that's where having a team and having people that come from different backgrounds and different thought processes can come together and create something awesome. So speaking of teams, when did you get together with Old Dominion Paranormal Research? And, like, who are your team members? What do they do?
Well, I actually met Donna and Willie Taylor. They are our founders. I went to St. Albans Sanatorium up in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a daytime history tour. And they were there, and me and them just kind of started chatting, and we became friends. And really, the rest is history. I mean, we just you know, Old Dominion, they've been wanting to do a team for a while.
Yeah.
And so I got in, and we got a few other members, Jenna Brown, Damon Lockhart, Logan Lockhart, and we got a new investigator that's going to come with us on our next investigation, Madison. And it's cool because me and Damon and Jenna and Madison are all co-workers at the same place.
Oh, wow.
So we always talking, you know, paranormal stuff, but, you know, it's hard to go out and investigate when, you know, our founders are hours away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because we're in South Carolina, but we make do, and we got another event or another investigation scheduled for next year, and we're looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So, what is your favorite investigation that you've done, whether it be with the team or solo so far? What is your favorite place that you've been?
I guess, you know, Waverly Hills, and because when I first got into the paranormal and was researching it, Waverly Hills was the first place I looked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the place. I've always wanted to go there. So in 2017, I actually went there with a buddy of mine and did the little daytime tour and the nighttime tour. And then after that, last year in June, we went up there and did the investigation. Mm. And, you know, like I said, we didn't have as much happen as we would have liked. But, you know, Waverly is so iconic in the paranormal community.
Yeah.
You know, and just to be able to walk those halls was an honor, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, just walking through the doorway had to be something. Even just pulling up the drive to see that place in person. Because I know it's just towering and very imposing. So, like, what were your feelings like when you first set eyes on it for the first time?
I was in disbelief because I tell you, it's a lot bigger in person than it is on TV. And walking through and just, you can just feel somebody watching you, you know. Yeah. Every doorway you pass, you know, it can be very intimidating.
Yeah, I know that it's still just in utter disrepair. So how difficult was it to get around in there?
It wasn't difficult at all. Tina and Steve, the owners, they're doing such a great job at getting that place restored. Mm. You know, you got to watch out for your water, you know, laying on the floor in puddles, and you got to watch out for some other stuff that's kind of falling over. But, you know, it's really easy to get around in.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of steps, so if you ain't used to steps.
Yeah, because that elevator is just a shaft. There is no actual elevator.
No, there is nothing in that building that works.
That's so sad. I mean, that a place with that much history and everything just kind of got forgotten about. And it really took, you know, paranormal teams to kind of step up and be like, hey, you know, this is a place. Let's go in there. Let's take a look at it. And then, boom, just instant stuff is going off. And then now you've got the paranormal community that's going in and they're doing stuff there and they're raising money and they're getting it put back together. That's what I love about the paranormal. I truly enjoy
that. All the money that they get from those tours and the history tours and the overnight investigations goes directly into getting that building restored and, you know, fixing it up.
That's beautiful. So Waverly Hills. So, I mean, that obviously, you know, for everybody in the paranormal world, when you think, where do I want to go investigate? Waverly Hills. It's like the top of everybody's bucket list, and you got to hit that like your first shot, and I'm completely jealous. So what is your favorite evidence that you've gotten so far while investigating?
Well, it actually came at another location. It was the Thomas House Hotel in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I actually caught this in July. I was there with Willie and Donna doing a public investigation. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting down in what they call the seance room. And I'm just there and I'm snapping away on my camera, taking pictures. And, you know, mm-hmm. we're having some pretty interesting activity happening. And I got home and I started going through my photos, and I stopped on one, and I was just in disbelief because in the doorway you can see what looks like a cloudy white figure kind of standing there with his head cocked to the side looking in at us. And I went and I played with the lighting on the picture, and I mean, you can see somebody standing there looking at us. and it was just, I was in disbelief.
That's crazy.
I never seen anything in there. And I actually went back. I went back at the beginning of October to see if I could recreate this. And there's nothing I could have done to recreate it.
That's insane. Well, if you're going to catch something, it would be in the seance room.
That's where most of the activity happened, was in the seance room.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. With all of their seances and their conjurings and their summonings, of course somebody's going to come through.
Well, I know a cult used to use it as their headquarters, I guess, and we were doing a kind of a question and answer session, and Willie had some flashlights laying there, and he said, if you were a member of the cult, you light up one of the lights, and that light immediately come on.
Oh, that's not creepy.
And he said, if you use this room as your, you know, to do your ceremonies when you turn the light off, the light went right off.
Mm.
And whoever it was really didn't want to talk anymore until he asked again. So you are a member of the cult, and the flashlight lit up again.
That's crazy. So, member of the cult, seance room, we're just adding up to just a really creepy place.
It is creepy. It is very creepy. There's a church across the road that the Thomas House owns, and it's in horrible condition. The floors are caving in, but, you know, you can still go in it. And, you know, apparently there is a priest that hung himself over in that church.
What?
And he doesn't like people to sit up on the on where he would sit, you know, stand, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he's known to get kind of physical.
I would be the worst guy to go in
his space.
I would be the worst person to go in there, because I'm technically an ordained minister, and I've given sermons, and I'm naturally drawn to pulpits. So I'm just saying, if I roll out there, Father Hangy by the neck, I'm coming for you.
Oh man, yeah, it's definitely a vibe in that building that is just, it's weird. And, you know, you can stay there, you know, when you do the public investigations, you know, you get your own room and you can sleep there overnight. You know, you can ghost hunt all night if you wanted to, but you got your own room, and just about every room in that hotel has some sort of activity.
That's pretty awesome. It's also super frightening. I don't know, man. To be able to investigate and then lay my head in the same place I'm investigating, no thank you. Because when I'm asleep, they can get me.
The room I had stayed in had some activity where, of course, it didn't happen when I was there, but some people were walking down that hallway, and they heard what sounded like kids jumping on the bed. And it was coming from the room I was staying in.
Oh. Cool.
And I'm like, you know what? Go jump on somebody else's bed. I ain't dealing with that.
Not today, Satan. Not today.
Not today. Not tomorrow either.
I gotta lay down. I need to get my nappy time, and that's gonna get in the way of it.
I got a long drive tomorrow. Leave me alone for a little bit.
So, have you guys ever stayed anywhere while, in the middle of the night while you're sleeping, that you've had something happen?
No, not yet. Not that I know of, because I end up falling asleep. And, when we were at Waverly, we were down in one of the bottom rooms, and everybody was in there, and of course Donna's still rolling with the questions. I'm leaning up against a pillar. I'm about half asleep. It's about 4 in the morning. I about had it for that night. And, I could have fell asleep right there, probably.
Yeah. I could imagine how tiring that it gets, and because there's so much energy that is being pulled from you and put into you and just moving around, that it is just taxing on the body. And to be doing it, even if you just went from midnight to 4 a.m., that's crazy. But I know that a lot of people start around 9 or 10, and to go for that long, I don't understand how you can stay awake that long.
It can be difficult. I know our next investigation is going to be 10 hours long.
Jeez.
And
that's,
I'm gonna have to stay up at least 10 hours and whatnot, see if I can do it.
Jesus. That's horrifying. honestly, that's scarier than actually getting touched by something, is having to stay up for an extra 10 hours. That, nope, hard pass.
I like my sleep. I can't, you know.
So, what do you guys have? You keep toying with me. You keep teasing me. So, what's coming up next for you guys? What is that investigation next year?
Well, it's a place I've always wanted to get into. We're going to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Oh, wow.
In Tennessee. I've done a lot of research on that place, and I just cannot wait. I'm chomping at the bit to get in there. I hear that place can get pretty intense, and...
Yeah, I've heard some stories.
I'm ready for it.
Your team. So, are they... You said you work with several members of your team. Are they just, you know, are they obsessed with the paranormal? Or are they like you? Have they had a bunch of experiences? Same with the owners. Like, are they obsessed? Is it experiences? Like, what background do they come from?
A little bit of everything. I mean, some of them have had experiences, you know, before. But when they found out, you know, hey, I'm into it and I want to investigate, they wanted to, you know, join and become investigators too.
Yeah.
And then I know there's some that's just wanting to experience it, I guess, for the first time.
Okay.
And for Willie and Donna, the owners, it's been a obsession for years and years and years, you know, with the paranormal. And they finally, you know, created Old Dominion, and here we are today.
That's really cool, though. I mean, I like the fact that you've got everybody from every walk of life. So, like, let's talk more about the team. What does everybody do? What do they bring to the table?
Well, you know, we're a young team. We're still learning. Everybody's still learning. You know? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just, you got different perspectives.
Yeah.
Coming in, you know, one person say, "Hey, look at, you know, this happened," but somebody else will be like, "Well, let's see why that happened, or if there's an explanation for it."
Yeah.
So you got your kind of your skeptic, and you got your, you know, believers.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a great. I couldn't ask for anybody else to investigate with.
Yeah.
They're family, and you know, I can't wait to get back out and do more with them.
That's so cool, though, that you've got skeptics, you've got believers, you've got debunkers, you've got everybody working together. That is what true investigation is. It is not just going in and saying, "This is 100% happening." It's going, "How can we prove that it is, or how can we prove that it isn't?" And
it's like me, I'm, you know, people walk into these places and they hear a bump, or they hear a bang, or they hear some sort of noise, and they automatically jump to the part where, "Hey, that's paranormal, that's a ghost, that's something like that." And I'm not like that. You know, I gotta figure out what made that noise.
Yeah.
You know, whether it is paranormal, whether it's just, you know, a natural, you know, the building, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and I imagine you're like me, you know, grew up in an old house, so you know what building settling sounds like. Very different than what a spirit is going to do. Vastly different. And you can almost tell without having to listen back in a recorder. You could tell just with your ears and be like, "That's not natural."
And that's something I want to develop, you know, over time, is being able to decipher without evidence or without, like, equipment, what is paranormal, what's not paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to, my senses, I guess, and, you know, build up that part of me.
And you know, the sound of floorboards expanding and contracting, it doesn't sound like a footstep. It doesn't.
No.
And, you know, when somebody's like, "Oh, I just heard a footstep," and I'm like, "Actually, that's just the floor, you know, expanding." You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you do hone over years. And, you know, I think for me, you know, I was like you, you know, I grew up with a bunch of experiences and everything like that. And I have that ability to just be like, "That's a footstep," or "That's the wall over there, you know, creaking," or whatever. You know, it's there's a difference. And that's why I like investigating, though, because you get to see every aspect of it. You get to see the people that are really good at determining that, and then you get to see the people when they're like, "Oh my God," you know, that's what I love. You know, the first catch, the first moment of evidence being caught, and they're like, "Oh my God, I was right." You know, that's so cool to me. So what was your first moment of investigating, like your first piece of evidence that you caught that you were like, oh goodness?
Is probably that picture from Thomas' house.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, you know.
Was that your really biggest one? Like, is there any audio or something that you were able to find that you were like, I didn't hear that? That's incredible.
Yeah, there is. We did get a few EVPs from Waverly. One of them was actually really cool because one of the new claims there that I've heard is foreign language.
Hmm.
And I caught an EVP saying something in Spanish. It sounded like muchas gracias or something like that.
That's crazy.
And we caught another EVP there, and it was just kind of a breathy whisper. I couldn't really make out what it was saying.
Yeah. That's weird, though.
None of that we heard in person.
To catch a muchas gracias in the middle of Waverly Hills, that's intriguing.
And it didn't sound friendly, either.
Oh, cool. That's great. You're welcome.
I don't know what we did, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know how I would feel, like, if I was listening back and I just happened to still be there and just like, oh, he's like angrily happy? I think we should go.
Yeah. I think another one of my favorite pieces of evidence that I've caught now that I think about it is there's actually a place here in South Carolina called Seven Devils Bridge.
Ooh, yes.
Now, the history of Seven Devils Bridge, from what I've read, is back, I don't know what year it would have been, but seven slaves have been said to have been hanged off that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you look up haunted places in South Carolina, Seven Devils Bridge comes up quite often.
Yeah.
So me, Damon, Jenna, and Madison actually went down there one night, actually back in May, and, you know, it's just a bridge there. It's, you know, you wouldn't think it would be anything haunted, but there used to be a wooden bridge there now going over the river, and you can still see, you know, parts of that bridge up underneath the new one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down there. Me and Madison is underneath the bridge. Damon and Jenner are up top, and I've got my spirit box going. And with the spirit box, it can be kind of hard to decipher what would be a spirit voice versus what's radio interference.
Yeah.
But we started getting some very compelling words coming through that spirit box, you know, regarding where we're at and what happened there.
Yeah.
And one of the legends of Seven Devils Bridge is you cannot walk across the bridge at midnight on foot without breaking down and going temporarily insane.
Huh.
Now, I'm already insane, so that's not, you know, the way I'm going to... But bother me much. I didn't do it, but I asked the question. I said, do you want us to cross the bridge at midnight? And as clear as the day is long, man, something come across and said, don't.
Ooh.
And that was enough for me to hear that. And one of the words we actually got before that was cross. So I kind of meant, hey, you know, don't cross, maybe.
Or it might have been two different spirits. One wanting you to do it, and one being like, don't do it.
We got a few other words too, but what really struck home for me, and really, you know, and when you hear it, it'll break your heart. I went back down underneath the bridge by myself and did another spirit box session, and I asked the question, I said, what happened to you down here? And it's about 17 to 20 seconds went by, and then you hear a female voice says, they hanged me.
Oh, man.
And it's on the Instagram page.
Yeah.
That recording. And you'll hear me in there go, oh my God. Because yeah. I realized right then what was said.
Oh man.
So I asked the question again. I said, did they hang you down here? And the same female voice come back, yeah, yes.
Oh, dude.
And that was in with like a 40 second time span.
That is heartbreaking, man. Like,
I mean, just, I heard that and I still listen to it this day. And it just gets me every time I hear it.
But, like, to me, as heartbreaking as that is, you were able to, through that, tell her story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she might not have never been able to tell that story.
And I'm sure she found peace in that, and I hope she did.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so too. And that's one of the heartbreaking things about doing investigating, is the fact that you can catch those sad stories. But like I said, a lot of the time they haven't been able to get their story out. It's very generic questions that are being asked and things like that. And that's where it takes a lot of research on the investigator's part beforehand to go in and learn the history. And it's good that you kind of, you know, grew up with a bit of that knowledge and were able to walk in and be like, is this what happened? And to get that corroborated is pretty fantastic.
You know, you got a lot of people that are going to these places and just, they're rude, they provoke, they have no respect.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you just, like you said earlier, there are people.
Yeah.
Just like you and me. You go in there and you treat them with respect. Hey, guess what? You're going to get some interaction.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the way I think everybody should investigate. You know, don't go in there cussing them out and doing all this other, you know, crap. Just be respectful. Talk to them like you're talking to your own family.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. I agree. So, guys, I've said it before. I'll say it again. When you go out there, don't provoke. Don't be dumb. Okay? You're not, if you're in a team, you shouldn't just be concerned about your well-being. You need to be concerned about the well-being of your team, because it might not come after you. It might come after somebody that's in your team in another room that you can't get to. You need to be worried about your team. Don't provoke. Don't be dumb. Show respect. Show honor. These are people. Whew.
You know, you got
rant done.
People that walk into Waverly Hills, I'm sure, and places like that where people suffer so much.
Yeah.
And provoke and curse at them and all this other. I mean, I couldn't even imagine doing that. It's just,
no.
You know, go in there with respect and, you know, you'll get interaction.
Well, like, sure. I like to think about it like, if, like, somebody that moves into my grandma's house that's passed on, if they go into that house and say grandma's still there and they start provoking my grandma, I mean, don't get me wrong, I kind of get it, but don't. That is somebody's family member. You know what I'm saying? Like, just don't do it. Don't be a turd. Don't be a turd. Don't be dumb.
Knowing my grandma, that she would have slapped him in the face.
Oh, my grandma would have speared him. She would have just straight up, just Bill Goldberg style, just spear. Just no fear. She was ornery. But yeah, like, it doesn't matter, guys. These are people. Show respect. So, what is your favorite piece of evidence? Or, not evidence, excuse me. I've already asked that. What is your favorite piece of equipment to use?
I think my favorite piece is, I love my SLS. I built my SLS myself. I didn't buy one pre-made off of, you know, eBay or whatever. I built my own, and it, you know, kicked my butt for a while trying to get it to work right. But I love to use that, and I've seen multiple things with the SLS, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to capture that on the video. But the fact that it works, and the fact that you know, I can see something that's not actually there.
Yeah,
I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I love the idea of the SLS. It's one thing that I'm kind of skeptical about, and I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, energy comes across in many different ways. I could be skeptical for no freaking reason. But yeah, it's one of those things. But I mean, like, it is so cool though. If that is what we're catching on an SLS, is proof that there is something standing right there, or sitting right there, or that there's something either sitting in the rocking chair that's rocking it, or something standing behind it that's rocking it. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool.
I've learned too, where if you're moving around with the SLS and you pass a chair and it'll pick up the chair legs.
Yeah.
And automatically it's like, hey, there's somebody standing there.
Yeah.
So it throws out an image.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like a false positive. It's not real.
And I know it does that also with some like standing lamps and also like coat racks.
Yeah, and I've learned too. So if you're going to use a SLS, it's better to use it stationary.
Yeah.
Like, fix it on an object or fix it looking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you have a better chance of catching something and not a false positive.
Yeah. And that's also something that comes with time. And it's really cool that you've kind of started to master that, and the fact that you built it yourself is pretty freaking cool. And you're just kind of you're getting it down yourself because you understand how you built it, and that's really cool.
And it didn't cost as much as it would on eBay, I can tell you that.
No, because I've seen them go for like $1,200.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like,
ain't
what
no
do
way.
You do?
Ain't no way.
I'm like, a Kinect, like the actual Kinect system was like $200. Like, I don't know. But
one of my buddies at work gave me that one, the Kinect part.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could find parts for anything anywhere if you just look.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people talk about spending like $200 on a spirit box, and I was listening to a podcast with a guy named Bruce Halliday, who's one of the perfectors of the ghost box, spirit box, everything, and he's like, bro, I used to build them for like $7.99. I would go buy an analog radio, open it up, cut one wire, and it would automatically be a spirit box. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
In the wrong line of business there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What am I doing with my life? But you know, it's really cool, especially when people can go out there and they can build their own equipment. It's way better. It's like a car. Which is cooler, buying the car or building it and understanding how it works? To me,
exactly,
it's different.
Right. I'd rather build my own.
Exactly. I mean, am I going to build my own car? No, I don't have that kind of time. But it would be cool.
That's right.
So, as we're wrapping this up, if I could get you to throw out all of the social medias that are out there for Old Dominion Paranormal Research.
All right, you can check us out at Old Dominion Paranormal on Instagram and Old Dominion Paranormal Research on Facebook. We're working on a YouTube. That is in the works. I am working on that.
I'm ready for it. I can't wait to see more. I want to see more of your evidence. I want to see a lot more of your evidence. I want to see your adventures. That's awesome that you guys are doing the YouTube. So do we have an ETA on a YouTube?
Not yet. Probably sometime next year, right around the Old South Pittsburgh investigation.
Okay.
I would like to start, because I love to go around and, you know, see cemeteries and, you know, historical places. That's one of my passions is history. I love to go and see, you know, battlefields. I was just at one the other day.
Yeah.
And I would love to just go and be able to document that. I love to go, like I said, to cemeteries. I have a thing for famous graves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I was in Nashville, you know, back when I went to the Thomas House and I seen some of the old country singers.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just so cool because they're, you know, there's people I grew up listening to, and to be able to be right there with them, I think is cool. Like, just the other day, I was down at, and, you know, I know a lot of people remember this, Susan Smith.
Yes, yes.
Who found her kids in the car. That happened probably an hour or so away from me, and Saturday afternoon, I went down and stood and found where the two little boys are buried.
Jeez.
Mm. And, you know, it's... It was so sad, but I would like to, you know, with the YouTube, you know, document our investigations and some exploration videos too coming.
Well, I tell you what, because you and I are not far from each other, let's try to grab some people from the team and let's hit up Cowpens. Let's hit up the battlefield.
Man, I would love that. Cowpens is not far from me.
Yep.
You know, and It should deliver. Yeah. I love battlefields.
Oh yeah.
It's just about them.
There's so much bloodshed. There's so much energy being, you know, moved around and everything like we were talking about earlier. Of course, there's gonna be stuff that's happening. You know, I think of it like, you know, living up in Virginia and up in Maryland and things like that, and Antietam and Gettysburg. Soaked in blood, also piping hot with paranormal activity.
I know I was at Perryville Battlefield in Kentucky.
Ooh.
And you know, I didn't investigate there, and that's high on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know Perryville's way out in the middle of nowhere, but there's just something about that particular area, and it's hard to explain, and I'm going to try to explain it the best way I can. It's like the sounds of battle muffled today's sounds.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear everything fine, but in your head, it's muffled because of how the screams and the gunfire and the cannons and everything that went on. It, you know, I don't know if it's just, it's left its mark there. That battle did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really want to get back up there to Perryville.
That's awesome. You know, I grew up on a Civil War battlefield in Virginia, and I got to tell you, when you've got ground that is soaked in that much blood, and you've got running water and things like that in your backyard, it's just a hotbed. It's a hotbed. But once again, go ahead one more time and throw out those social medias for everybody.
Facebook, Old Dominion Paranormal Research, and on Instagram, Old Dominion Paranormal.
Awesome. So guys, when you're out there and you're following Old Dominion Paranormal Research, I want you to follow everybody that you find that is in the paranormal community. Why? Because we all need love and support, no matter how big, no matter how small. All right? We all need love. We all need support. We're all reaching for the same goal. Everybody's got their own way of doing things, and we want to come together, and we want to show that love and support. And guys, we will talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.